3. Can you imagine that? And still going, and still got a lot of ground to cover, but God is teaching us. He's really, really teaching us how to really live this authentic faith life. And I have just been thoroughly blessed by the word that the Lord has been giving us. I really have. I've been so, so blessed by it. Today, we're going to talk about training for authentic life, altering post experiences. And it's training. It's a training day. The Lord wants to perfect our time with him at the post. He wants us to learn how to really maximize and how to extract from him. It's available at all times. It's always, 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 always there. No matter what time of day you go, it's always there. It's always ready for you to give you that experience, to give you that lift, to give you that boost, to fill you with faith and to fill you with whatever you need at the time you need it. And the Lord wants to train us a little bit better today. And we're going to look at a couple of different post experiences that a couple case studies that the Lord dropped in my spirit on last week. Dropped in my spirit a couple of different case studies. And so man, it was an eye opener to me. The first one we're going to look at today. First, I'm going to read our scripture for the day, is which we've been in for a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And so we've been learning about a transition from failure to glory. And we know that we receive this transition when we make it to the post and we start to lean on the post of his doors. And we're going back to Proverbs 8 when I talk about leaning on the post of his doors, leaning on his temperament, his character, waiting for an exchange to take place at the post. And entering in really to the place of the kingdom by way of Jesus Christ. And we learn that our darkness or our failures is where light is shining from. It's shining out of darkness. And that's where it's given us a position that we can't lose. And we're starting to understand that even in failures, there's still glory to be had. We, again, had some great case studies on last week and the week before. Boy, they have just been, just awesome. If you can hear me, just say amen.
Amen.
All right. They have just been, mind-blowing, just some awesome insights from failure to glory type situations. And but the Lord wants to give us a better insight today about really extracting an authentic, life-altering post-experience. He wants to teach you how to do this and really. He doesn't want this message to pass without it becoming a part of our lives. He doesn't want that. Because this is life here. For whoso findeth me findeth life. Yes. And this is about changing our lives. And it's about living at the highest level that one can possibly live with God and through God. And so he doesn't want to just have a bunch of great messages to come. And all of a sudden we shift into another subject. And we kind of forget about this. No, this has to be one of those Mark 4 things that has already, everyone that's been in the ministry long enough now knows that Mark 4 has changed our lives. Staying in the study, and God wants us to deal with the post experience like we dealt with understanding how to stay in the study of the now word. And he wants to make this a part of us. And so today's some extra training. Some extra training on how to. If you need a training, I want you to do me a favor. Shoot me an amen via the chat, and just so I know that I'm talking to you and I'm talking right to you, because I know I needed extra training. I want to perfect my post experience with God. I want it perfected. There's such potential in this word. There's such greatness to be had because of this understanding and this perfection that we can achieve because of it. And so if that's you too, just shoot me an amen, and I'll get to that a little bit later. Today, I want to talk to you the first case study. I want to look at Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wants the knowledge of his glory. And this is the first case study coming out of Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 9. Hang in there with me today, guys. We're going to go in. We're going to go all the way in today, and it's going to bless you. And it says in Luke 19, verses 1 through 9, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place," is that word place again? "When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house.' And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold.' And Jesus said unto him, 'This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham.'" That's a powerful, powerful, powerful post experience that we just read. 9 verses. Powerful post experience that Zacchaeus had. You see, Zacchaeus didn't just want to see. We see here that Zacchaeus, he wanted to see Jesus, but it wasn't just to see him. The word "see" translates to know or to be aware. Zacchaeus really wanted it. Another definition means to have knowledge. It also means to turn the eyes, the mind, the attention to anything. He didn't just want to see him with his eyes. He wanted to know him. He wanted to have knowledge. This man was short in stature, and he ran ahead because he heard that Jesus was passing that way. And this man wanted to see him. But in seeing him, it wasn't just an ocular seeing that he had desire of. He didn't just want to see him like that. He wanted to become aware and have knowledge. Zacchaeus was being drawn to the post. He climbed a sycamore tree. I believe Elder Allison taught that the tree was symbolic to the post itself. So he was at a post. And the Bible says here, when Jesus, in verse 5, "And when Jesus came to the place," I reference Elder Allison again because she taught on the place in one of her case studies. She said, "Show us the place." I believe Elijah said, "Show me the place where it failed, where the axe head fell." And the word "place" there, I believe it was actually, I referenced Kurt. He taught that the word "place" meant condition. Jesus came to Zacchaeus's condition. Somebody say amen if you could still hear me.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So we see Jesus arrive to Zacchaeus. He came to the place where he was. He didn't just arrive at the place of the tree. He arrived because there was a divine setup here, a divine meeting at this post. The first of all, Zacchaeus, you have to take note. If you're gonna be trained here at the post, you're gonna want to see him. You gotta have a desire to see him. You gotta have a desire to have his knowledge. You want the knowledge of his glory to enter in. We've been talking about it for weeks. You gotta have a desire to want his opinion. That goes beyond yours. Zacchaeus wanted to have knowledge. And this knowledge, anytime God's gonna kick knowledge to you about himself, he's releasing glory. He's releasing glory. So Jesus actually met him at his condition. He met him at the place that he was at. He met him at the place where change was about to happen. So he didn't just want to see Jesus with his eyes. Zacchaeus wanted to know Jesus. This man ran ahead and climbed a tree He wasn't looking with a mere glance. He was really in the midst of a life-altering post-experience. When Jesus saw this man's hunger to know him, the Bible says he came to the place. And as I said, we learned that the word place means condition. When Jesus meets us at the post, he meets us at our present conditions. You have to understand that. He's going to perfect what that which is concerning you, and you going there, you making your way there, your reason, the only reason you're going is because you're looking for his opinion. And this is just a little bit more training in this. He then proceeds to abide with Zacchaeus. Watch this now, guys. Watch this entire post experience. He begins to abide. He tells Zacchaeus, I have to abide with you this day. All right? He says, I'm going to abide with you, with Zacchaeus, until basically what he meant there, I'm going to stay with you until your condition is changed. Mm-hmm. When your opinion's changed into God's opinion. All right, of who it was ordained to be. Zacchaeus, you see the name Zacchaeus, he was about to change Zacchaeus. Even his name suggested that he was in the wrong. He was a publican, he was stealing money, he was taxing people, overly taxing people, and telling and committing really just a bunch of fraud. He was a fraud, and he became wealthy by being a fraud. Wow. And his name, when he was born, his name suggested that his name means pure.
Wow.
So God had already called him pure when he came out of his mother's womb. He was named Zacchaeus. He was named pure. So God was about to change this man's condition from being a fraud to becoming pure. Amen. Being who he was really ordained to be. When you get to the post, listen, when you get to the post, you have to understand something. When you get there, you're coming into what you've been ordained to be. It's only going to happen by his opinion, not by yours, by the word of the Lord coming to you about you. So Zacchaeus's name was already pure. So when God created him, he called him pure. He wasn't supposed to be an oppressive thief stealing money and lying. The Bible says that Zacchaeus stood in verse number 8. Look at this now. First, Jesus said, I have to abide with you today. Zacchaeus gets excited, comes down the tree, runs. Received him joyfully. Then in verse 8, when Jesus got to his house, the Bible says that Zacchaeus stood. The word stood means abide. Mm-hmm. So now Jesus said, I have to abide with you. So now Jesus abiding with Zacchaeus causes Zacchaeus to abide with Jesus. The Bible says he stood, and watch this, because he started to abide in the Lord, because he was waiting there, because he stood and he was still, his opinion got altered. When you come to the post, listen, I know we've been driving this stake in, but I'm going to drive it in deeper. When we come here, we have to be willing to stand still. We have to be. You can't move. The only reason why you're here is for an altering change in your life, for something to happen to you that God has ordained to happen to you. Zacchaeus stood, and watch what happens. As he begins to abide in Jesus, as he begins to stand still, look at this. And this is what happens when he began to abide. He said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. His opinion, just because he stood there, got changed. His opinion on the way this man made his wealth. He never saw himself as a thief before, but he stood there at the post. And the Lord, just by abiding there, all of a sudden it was a smooth transition. This man repents and says, I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man in any way that was not right, I'm going to give him four times what I took. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. So the post experience started because Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. My God, you got to have there has to be what we used to call it, what we learned. There has to be an Abba cry coming out of your spirit. There has to be a desire to really want the knowledge of God above what you think and while you've been moving. Zacchaeus wanted to see him. He wanted to know him. He wanted to hit the awareness of Christ. So when Jesus meets us at the post, he meets us there and he's meeting us at the present condition that we're in. And just that one, just that one moment with him can alter what's been going wrong for years in your life. But you have to be like Zacchaeus. You've got to want to see him. You've got to want to spend that time with him. You've got to be able to stand. Standing still is everything.
Amen.
It's everything. So now we see as Zacchaeus begins to abide, the Bible tells us that, watch this, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that's what happened. They both were abiding in one another, Christ in him and him in Christ. And then he says, you shall ask anything and it shall be done. Point being, we must be willing to wait until we abide. That's where the post-experience climax is, right there in the abiding, in the staying still.
Yes.
That's where the post experience begins to take off.
Hallelujah.
The word abiding actually means to stay in a given place. To stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. It means to abide or to continue. My goodness. See, that's his opinion. It was exchanged there because he was abiding. He didn't move. Now watch this. This is something. If you're with me, just say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now watch this. Watch this. Now, when we learn to abide, when we learn to sit still, when we learn to stay in a given place, watch what takes place here. Now, watch what happens. I noticed something that in these verses here. Every verse in this text, 1 through 9, in Zacchaeus's experience, began with the word and. Every verse, and, verse 4, and, verse 5, and, verse 6, began with and, verse 7, and, 8, and, 9, and I noticed that. I'm like, what is the significance behind this word? Every verse starting with the word and.
Wow.
Throughout his entire experience. So I looked up the word and. And this is just a little Holy Ghost side note. The word and means a cumulative force. The word cumulative means increasing. It means increasing force.
Amen.
So every time we read and, the force of the post experience was increasing. It was increasing until salvation came. So that depicts what should be for us, that as we're waiting and abiding, we should be under an and. It should be increasing until God speaks a word to you that brings salvation to your trouble. There should be a cumulative force. While you're there, each moment that you're there, one verse might lead to another, one word might lead to another, but you stay there until it climaxes into salvation. You don't move, my goodness, until the thing climaxes into salvation. I've got proof for you here. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, I told you, stay with me today. It's going to get real good. It says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I read that wrong for so many years. He didn't say today is the day of salvation. He says now is the day. Now becomes the day. Now becomes the day. That's why we should wait there until the force has increased unto salvation. Because salvation is now.
Hallelujah.
It's now. If I wait there at the post, if I'm still and I stand still just like Zacchaeus did, he stood and his opinion got shifted.
Jesus.
Now becomes the day of salvation.
Hallelujah.
The reason why now is salvation is because he always is ready. He's waiting, ready, and willing to give us our post experiences. If you're truly willing to wait at the post of his doors. Today, in fact, it says in my notes, says today, in fact, now is the day. It doesn't even mean today. It means now becomes the day. You don't have to morning by morning, new mercies I see. No, you don't have to wake up and find them. No. Now is the day. If I'm willing to wait there for the climax of salvation in my trouble, remember, it's just a word. That's all we need is one word is going to shift and change it. It's going to break and destroy the yoke. Just one word. This means salvation is always available at his post. This is nothing short of authentic now faith. This is the true substance of things hoped for and the true evidence of things not seen. It becomes our faith. It becomes how we live. Whoso findeth me findeth life. Now is the day. Zacchaeus had a post experience because he had a desire to see. He had a desire to know him. And when Jesus saw his desire, he said, today I must abide with you. He connected with heaven's timeline. Jesus did. And boom, it was right there. It was meant for that time with him. It was meant. But it started with a desire that Zacchaeus had, that the Father must have put in him about Jesus, because no man knows the Son save the Father. So he put it in Zacchaeus to know him, to want to know him. Jesus read his card and said, man, I see you. I know what you're looking for. Today I must abide with you. He began to abide with Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus began to abide with him. It was in the abiding, the waiting, the standing still that the opinion of Zacchaeus was changed from being a thief and a robber to one that now would fund the gospel and get saved through and through, becoming his name. He became pure because he was willing to wait.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, God.
If you're willing to wait, I'm telling you, there'll be an increase of the force of salvation. There'll be an increase. It'll grow. And all of a sudden, God will move smoothly and swiftly and speak a word to you and get you out of your trouble. And get you completely out of your trouble. The second one I'm going to look at today is the jailer in the book of Acts with Paul and Silas. And the title of this one is The Jailer Receives Light Out of Darkness. He receives light out of darkness. It takes us back to our home scripture here. It takes us back to 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And we look at this jailer who's there, and this jailer is serious about his job. He doesn't play. He's straight up serious. He's a man that when they give him charge to do something, he takes it very, very seriously. And I noticed that when I was reading the account, and I woke up one morning, the Lord told me to read these three. He told me to read the story of Zacchaeus, that he would show me something there. He told me to read the story of this jailer, and he told me to read the story of the woman at the well, which we're going to look at on Thursday. But the jailer received light out of darkness. And I thought this was an amazing story. I had to really sit and really wait here in this one to see what God was really trying to say. I saw some things that were really, really awesome. It was revelatory. It was rhema. But I wanted the precise word of the Lord so we could extract more training from it. So it says here in the book of Acts, we pick up at verse number 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, talking about Paul and Silas, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, I feel your presence, master. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out. And listen to this, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Jesus. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them in the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now, we see something really amazing here. We see something really, really amazing. The jailer, first of all, Paul and Silas were praising and singing, and all the prisoners heard them. They heard them praising God and singing. They heard all of this, and they sang so much that God said, okay, I'm going to shake the earth for this man here for a post experience. Sometimes God will move heaven and earth to get you to a post experience. But it wasn't the earthquake. Listen to me now. It wasn't the earthquake that saved him. It wasn't even their prayers and praises that saved him. Watch this now. What saved him, the jailer asked for a light because it was dark in the inner prison. So he asked for a light, but my goodness, did he ever get a light? Because when he got in there and saw that Paul and Silas didn't move, neither did any other of the prisoners move, he saw the integrity, the light of God's honesty and integrity. That's what saved this man. Mm-hmm. Their praises didn't draw him. Their prayers did not even awaken him. The earthquake, my goodness, the earthquake didn't save him. He was about to kill himself because he thought the earthquake set all the prisoners free. Wow. That didn't move him. But what he heard, what he saw, was the light in his own darkness. When he saw that Paul and Silas were still intact in the prison, he saw the integrity of God on those two men. Light shined, and the first thing this man says, what must I do to be saved? What must I do? When he asked for a light to go into the inner prison cell, he received the light, all right, the light of God's glory. The light of God's glory. God revealed, God gave him his opinion on who the true and only God was. He lit him up. The fact that they were still in their cells and no stocks on them, they hadn't left, was the miracle. The light that shined out of darkness was so bright that it didn't just save him, but it saved his entire household. If you're with me, just say amen.
Amen, Lord.
Amen.
What the Lord wants us to know. Now listen now, what's the lesson behind this for us? What the Lord wants us to know is don't go looking for the earthquake or even prayer or praise at the post. We need his glory at the post. Don't look for, you might end up in a praise, but what's going to cause your praise is going to, I'm telling you right now, it's going to be a still small voice that you hear. We need his glory at the post. We need his still small voice. I'll read it out of 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13. See, the jailer didn't get saved by the earthquake. The jailer didn't get saved by the prayer and the praise. The jailer got saved by a light shining, and in that light was a small voice and gave him the truth about who God was. 1 Kings 19, verses 11 through 13. Watch this. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice. All those catastrophic things.
Wow.
God is trying to let you know, don't come to the post looking for this earthquake or this fire or this hurricane type wind or this type of experience here. Because when you come to the post, it's just my voice. It's just my voice.
Hallelujah, God.
And it was so when Elijah heard it, when he heard the voice, he heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? In other words, what are you doing here? I'll get to the story in a minute, if the Lord permits. But the point of this here is the only thing we need at the post is the still, small voice of the Lord. Don't overlook your post experience. Be patient and wait for his voice. That's what you're going to get there. If you study Proverbs 8, it tells you you're going to receive instruction. In other words, you're going to hear his voice. But God wants you to know how it's traveling. And I tell you this right now, every post experience I've had was a still, small voice. Every time I've gone, it's been a still, small voice. And if you're overlooking, if you're looking for the boom or the bang, you're going to miss it. And you're going to miss your post experience. Be patient and wait for his voice. This is our salvation and our deliverance. You may want the earthquake. You may want that experience. You may want the wind, or you might even want the fire. But your help isn't in any of those. You're not, listen, you may want God to vindicate and crush all your enemies right then and there. It's not going to happen. That's not what's going on. The post experience is for you to hear his still, small voice. Watch this now. But your help isn't in any of those things. It's in the voice of his words unto you. That's going to set things right in every area. Watch this. The word still means quiet. It means calm. It means silence or a whisper. We need to be trained in hearing. Sometimes I think some of us are hearing that, but it's not the boom or the bang. And we're overlooking the post experience. We're overlooking it. We need to be trained in hearing his whisper at the post. If you're looking for the boom or the bang, you're still in your temperament. Listen to me now. You're still in your temperament. When you allow his temperament to come on you, you will then hear the whisper. And the whisper, watch this, the whisper becomes an earthquake. It becomes a hurricane.
Yeah, it does.
It becomes a forest fire in your soul.
Yes, sir.
But it comes in as a whisper.
Yes, sir.
It's smooth. It comes in as a whisper. But then all of a sudden, the earth begins to quake inside of you. The winds begin to blow. And then the forest fire burns in your soul. I'm trying to tell you something. The word small, listen, it's a still small. The word small means small pieces that actually get broken into dust or powder. In other words, his voice at the post is very light. It's smooth. It's nothing harsh. You may be being rebuked, but it's still light as powder.
Amen.
It's light as dust.
Yes, it is.
It moves as dust or powder. It moves lightly. There's nothing harsh. My prophetess always would say that God is a gentleman. He doesn't force anything on you. And that's the truth. When you're dealing with the post experience, it's moving like dust. But remember, it says it's a still small voice. That still small, the voice, when you hear it, it becomes, the word voice means thunder or sound of an instrument, aloud. It moves still, calmly, quietly, travels like dust or powder. But when it hits you, and this is when you know you're having a post experience, it becomes thunder. It becomes a trumpet that sounds off inside you.
Amen. Amen.
God, I done.
Thank you.
The Lord wants us to understand how it moves there. He wants us to understand this. Elijah, in the story, he felt as though that everybody from Israel was turning against him. And at this time, he's running because they're turning the swords on all the prophets. Elijah felt like he was alone. And Elijah needed a word from the Lord. So the Lord moved in an earthquake. He moved in the winds first and crushed the mountains by the winds. It was the Lord. But there was no answer in that. The Lord then comes and moves by an earthquake, but there was no answer for him in that. Then the Lord creates a pillar of fire and starts to move, but the Lord was not there either. The Lord for Elijah, because he needed a word. Listen to me. You need a word. Stop looking for the miracle and look for the word. You want a miracle at the post. The miracle is the word.
Yes. Amen. Amen, Lord.
You're looking for the boom and the bang. You want God to settle this and fix it. You listen, you need a word.
Amen.
That's where the boom, that's where the thunder is. It comes by the word. When Elijah got the word and he heard her still, he covered his face with his mantle. He said, here he is. Why did he cover his face? Because the glory just came in the room. He didn't cover his face in the wind. He didn't cover his face in the earthquake. He didn't cover his face in the fire. All those things look like the glory. He covered his face at the word. That's where the glory was. He moved outside the cave and the Lord said, what are you doing here? He said, these guys are running after me. They seek my life and I'm alone. And the Lord said, he gave him instruction on who to anoint as king. He started the tumult of all of this foolishness. He said, I believe it was Jehu and it was someone else. He anointed them and he said, one's going to kill so many and the other that he doesn't kill, the other is going to come in and kill them. And then Elisha, who's going to take your post, is going to kill the rest of them. And he said, and by the way, Elijah, I've got 7,000 just like you that have not bent their knee, neither have they ever kissed Baal. You're not alone. It was the word, the instruction that delivered Elijah from his trouble. Though it's a still small voice, the effects of hearing it is loud in your spirit. It causes dry bones to live again. It wakes the dead in you. The effect is life-giving and life-changing. Now let's go, TGM. It's time to perfect our authentic faith life. At his gate and at his post. It's time for us to really start listening out for the still small voice of the Lord and letting that sound become the glory. Let it become the thunder within you. Let the word that he speaks to you become your earthquake. Let it become the fire that consumes. Let it become the wind that breaks the rocks into pieces. It's the still small voice that we're getting at the post. When I heard him tell me this, I lifted my hands and I had to ask him to forgive me because I too was looking for the boom and the bang sometimes. I was looking for the miraculous to just show up and overlooking the fact that it did in the still small voice.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And I lifted my hands and I said, I am so sorry. I am so sorry because I've had post experiences that end up in the miraculous. But it always came by the word. It always came by him saying something. I was just looking to leapfrog over that and have the experience of the deliverance. But I was missing what it was coming wrapped in. It was coming wrapped in not the earthquake, not the wind, not the fire. It was coming wrapped in a still small voice. That's where my experience is. And that's where yours is. You see, the jailer, he heard a still small voice. The earthquake didn't get him. Their praises and prayer didn't do it. But light shined, and boy, there was a word on that light. When he went into the inner prison, God was already in his inner prison, speaking a word to him about who he was. What must I do to be saved? He and his whole household got saved because of a still small voice that spoke through the honesty and integrity of God's two servants, God's two friends, Paul and Silas. They didn't move. It wasn't the earthquake that was saving that man. It wasn't prayer and praise. It was a still small voice. And that's what we're looking for at the post. I feel hasty feet beginning to slow down. I feel patience settling in. I feel a whole nother level that people are going to be moving on now, hearing. But let the full experience come. Let that still small voice become thunder. Let it become a sound of an instrument that's loud. Stand still until the full effect happens, because that's the word that brings forth burden removing and yoke destroying power. Praise God. That's all I got for you today, guys.
Hallelujah.
That's all I got. Don't stop recording yet, though.
Praise God.
Don't stop recording yet. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Oh, Jesus, let's look at these accounts here. Let's look here. All right. So I see here, Elder Donna says, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Wanda, Sister Wanda says, yes, Lord, send your glory in my inner prison. Boy, oh boy. Minister Kurt says, amen. There's a dunamis in the still small. Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Elder Allison said, this is so good. Blanche said, amen. The miracle is the word. Amen. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's where the miracle is. I got to scroll up. I didn't see all these up here. Elder Donna says, amen and amen. Javon says, amen. Kurt says, amen. Erica says, amen. Nita says, amen. I need the extra training. Amen. Evangelist. Amen comes from Wanda. Amen from Elder Allison. Praise God. Hallelujah for the smooth exchange at the post.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Minister Kurt says, amen. Come on now. Elder Allison says, the increasing force, the exchange was building up. That's right. You got it. You got it. Now is my increase, Sister Wanda says, now is my increase in every area that is despite or that is depleted in my life. Amen. Amen. Now is. That's right. That's right. Because at that post, it's a now. It's a now. It's a now thing. It's a now salvation. Only thing we need to do is wait. I'm telling you, only thing we need to do is stand still. Stand still there. That's what Zacchaeus, he stood. His opinion got changed. Salvation flowed in his life instantly. Jesus said, from this day is salvation come unto this house. Because he stood. So I don't care where your deficit might be. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. Ah, yes, Lord. Whoo, Jesus. Come on, lift those hands, everybody. Lift those hands.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, Master, train us here. Here.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Teach us how to hear your whisper. Teach us, Lord God, not to be so hasty and so impatient. Sometimes we're so desirous for deliverance, we miss the package that it's coming in. Train us, Lord. My goodness, Elijah was there. He saw the hurricane winds blow and tear mountains to pieces. He didn't equate that as you being on his side. Then you came with an earthquake and he saw and felt the tremble. He didn't take that and say, okay, you're with me. Then fire came and he still didn't say, amen, you're with me. He knew to wait on a still small voice. He knew to wait there. And I'm asking you, Lord, as you've taught us about this post, you've taught us about this. Teach us how to be still and silent. Give us trained hearing in the inner man. Help us not to miss another moment, another word that has life-changing power. But I pray, Master, this day, all of our ears will be anointed to truly hear, to hear your still small voice, your smooth as powder voice. But then the effects come with thunder, lightning, and winds. It's loud at the end result. Help us to be patient on the full experience. And I pray that everybody that heard this and that's hearing it now will be fully trained on how to hear. It starts off still and small. It ends up in thunderous, thunderous sound. And we give you praise for it, Master. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.